I hope I'm not too tall for this not to pick me up. There we go. I've been given one marching order today, which is to keep us on schedule for the afternoon. So hopefully I can make good on that promise to do so. First up is a 15-minute quick hit segment on the threat landscape update. Brock Bell is going to be delivering that to us. He's an expert in digital forensics and cyber investigations. He's a director at Palo Alto's Unit 42. He's actually, I think you directly report to Sam, who is on my panel earlier. I don't see Sam in the audience. This is a perfect opportunity for you to say whatever you want to about Sam without him being in the room. And I think we would all appreciate that, Brock. You've led hundreds of incidences. You're all over the threat actor landscape. And then because you have a 15-minute segment followed by a 30-minute segment on the anatomy of a ransomware negotiation, we're just going to let you roll right from this one into the next one. Lindsay Nickel will be joining you for the second piece of that. Lindsay is vice chair of the Constant G cyber team. She's in Dallas. She has managed response to well over 100 incidents and has a particular focus in the HIPAA space, the healthcare space. So, Brock, with that being said, take it away.
All right. If I'm remembering the talk tracks correctly, this is the part that says the worst is here. So you're welcome. I'm the worst. We're going to dive on in. I am going to try to keep us to about 14 minutes so we can keep moving. Yeah, absolutely. So I am going to dive right on in. I've got about 14 minutes to keep us moving. So I'm going to get into some of the data, and we're going to kick it off here. So I want to do just a 20-second disclaimer. I do this every time I talk about threat landscape, data points, aggregate information. Who you talk to and what their data set looks like will inform all the statistics and what their threat landscape looks like. So from a Palo Alto Networks perspective, ultimately we are the threat consulting services and threat intelligence services of Palo Alto Networks, which has a massive global footprint in the product space as well. Everything I'm going to speak to comes from our 1,000-plus investigations a year, our globally distributed threat intelligence team, and, of course, our big product footprint. You're going to see some of the notes here as we get into landscape as well. These are really just a few headlines to highlight as recently as I could without getting in trouble on my slides here of what's kind of been taking place in the threat landscape. The main one I like to just make a joke about is actually down there in the bottom with the macOS malware from North Korea. If you've ever had the displeasure of dealing with some of the North Korean threat actors, they actually really like Mac devices. Some of the most interesting APT, advanced persistent threat cases I've had have been with North Korea, and they live in the Mac space. I wanted to take a moment as well to just talk about threat profiles. There's the notion of organizational threat profiles, knowing what groups are after you, where some of your assets and sweet spots are. There's also the notion of personal threat profiles and how that expands. One of the other things that North Korean threat actors have been very hot and heavy into is getting inside of organizations through actual job postings. We've caught them posing as skilled developers, getting through interviews, getting through background checks using real identities and getting inside of organizations so they can see the data. However, sometimes it's easier to just sit in the back of the room and look over all y'all's screens. Some of you could use some screen privacy protectors. Just a little joke. Getting into some of the findings and some of the actual data now to talk about the threat landscape. When you look at the speed and sophistication of what's been happening in the last couple of years, one of the most critical things I think we would want to pull out of the threat landscape as it comes to legal perspectives is the time between initial infiltration in organizations and the time to getting data and getting it out of organizations. When you think about even before 2021, back when it used to take 30 days, 60 days, they might be in organizations for almost a year before they actually get data and take data out, or before they come back and post. One of the things that happens that really compounds it to, I would argue, your favor, depending how you like to play the engagements, is it takes your investigative teams, our teams, longer to find what's happened. Meaning we don't know data's been taken out of an organization for days, weeks, sometimes a month or more into an investigation. But when you look at how fast infiltration to data exfiltration has picked up, then you start to think about how fast we can find it on an investigation side. That pairs with better tooling and telemetry inside of organizations, meaning you might go from a notification of an incident to we know for a fact there's data that's out of the network in just a day or two inside of the investigation, and then it's getting our arms around the total scope. So just something to think about, not just from how fast you have to respond, as a defender and from a technology stack, but how fast we need to think about how our incident response team prepares and responds.